I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 through 22. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 through 22. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. The King James Version is what will be up on the screen behind me, though. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 22. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Here's a story of faith that is often celebrated. It is a story within a story, really, if you think about it, because Jesus was on his way to heal a centurion's daughter. And she eventually died, and then Jesus was able to go there to the house and raise her from the dead. Well, in the midst of this crowd that was surrounding him as he was on the way to do this, this woman comes up behind him who has a problem. And the Bible talks about her problem in some detail in the accounts of Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, and also in Mark chapter 5 and verses 24 through 34. And she said to herself, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed of this affliction." And so she took that opportunity as Jesus was passing by to do that. She touched the hem of his garment and she acted upon the message that she had heard that Jesus was able to heal her. As we mentioned, Mark and Luke give us more detail. And so let's turn over to Mark chapter 5 and verses 25 and following and look at that passage and see some of the details that Mark puts into his account. And we're going to just study from these verses this morning and think about this woman and her faith as we think about in our lesson today, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And that's going to be the topic of our study this morning as we think through this passage in Mark chapter 5 and verses 24 through 34. We're going to study this woman's faith and we're going to look to see if we can learn some lessons about faith within her life, because in thinking about her, in understanding what it means to have faith, it is to have something that is living and active within our life, something that is ongoing. It's not something that we just do one time and then let it go, but it's something that's ongoing within our life and that we are pursuing at every moment. And so we want to study this woman's faith, and we want to look at how faith worked in her life, in every aspect of her life, and then we're going to see how that relates to our situation today as well. You see, as we look at this woman's life, we're going to see that she had a condition. We're going to study her condition. But then secondly, we're going to study her cure. That is what it is that saved her from this affliction that she had. And then finally, we're going to look at the closure that she had within her life and to think about how her life was going to be so much better now that she had this closure. And so this morning, let's study this lesson, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," hoping that each one understands what it means to have a living and active faith in their life from this woman's example. So let's look at her condition first of all as we think about her faith making her whole. What was her condition? Well, in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24, we see this lady and we see that she comes up behind Jesus and the text says that she had a flow of blood for 12 years. Look at Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24 and following. "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." This is Mark chapter 5, verse 25. "And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Think about her disease. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. And we assume that this is an issue of blood that is associated with her monthly cycle and what all women experience as they go through that monthly cycle. that this issue of blood was coming forth and it was not stopping, that it was continuing. And there wasn't anything that could stop it because she had had this for 12 years, the scriptures say. Now, that's a long time to have this problem. That's a long time to be suffering with these symptoms. And I know that the ladies out there can certainly identify with the difficulty that that would create within one's life. Imagine that for 12 years this is going on in your life, and being in the society in which she was in, having this particular problem made her perpetually unclean. Look back at Leviticus chapter 15, if you would, in verses 25 through 30. Just real quickly to see exactly what the Mosaic Law said about this situation and this circumstance. Leviticus chapter 15 and verses 25 and following. We're not going to read all these verses, but we'll just note what it says. Leviticus chapter 15 verse 25. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. Now notice this. She shall be unclean. Now that was a stigma that was attached to this woman because of this problem that she had within her life. Look at verse 26. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. So she was perpetually unclean. Every chair that she sat on was unclean. Every bed that she laid on was unclean. The people who would come into her life and sit on those beds and sit on those chairs would then be unclean. And under the Mosaic system, this was not convenient. I mean, this was very troublesome for a person like this. Moreover, she would not have been allowed to enter into temple worship. Even as far as the women were allowed to go in, she would not be allowed to do that. She would be an outcast of society because of this problem that she has. Imagine 12 years having to deal not only with the physical effects of this problem, but with the social effects, with the emotional effects, with the mental effects that this would have upon you as a result of being constantly unclean and constantly an outcast in society. What a horrible situation to be in. What a terrible problem to have. Think about her efforts as she tried to find relief from this problem. The Bible says that she sought physicians, that she was looking for a cure. And Mark says that she had suffered under them. Luke says that she spent all her living in order to find a cure to this, in order to get relief from this, because it was such a burden and such a difficulty within her life. And then notice the results that she had. Mark says that she did not grow better. In fact, that she only grew worse. Verse 26. So think about that for a moment. Think about having some problem within your life that needs to be resolved, that needs to be fixed. Think about what you would do, what lengths you would go to resolve this problem or fix this problem. And then think about what would happen if everything that you did only made the problem worse. How frustrating would that be? How hard would that be to deal with? How difficult emotionally and mentally to bear that kind of burden for 12 long years? She was certainly someone who had a great, great need. Well, her condition reminds us of another condition that we think about, our condition. You see, mankind has a problem, and we have a problem. That problem the Bible talks about is not a physical problem like this woman had, but rather a spiritual problem. The spiritual problem of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is what separates us from God. It takes us away from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God that He will not hear." It's our fault that we're in this situation. And it seems like when we try to find a cure for it, that there's no physician of the day that can really solve this problem. Man has a sin problem, and he's had it for many years. Certainly the religious leaders of Jesus' day could not resolve this sin problem. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, that unless you find a righteousness that is greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to make it. You're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, he said. Well, they had a righteousness, but it was a righteousness of their own. Romans chapter 10 verses 1 through 3 says, it was not a righteousness that submitted unto God. They created a righteousness of their own. And as a result of that, they couldn't solve their own problem. That's what happens when we sin. We get into sin and we think, well, I can fix this myself and I can solve this problem. And we just get deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And like this woman who had this issue of blood, who didn't make things better by trying to solve the problem herself, but only make things worse, so also that's what happens to us. You see, we cannot cure this problem with a righteousness of our own. And there's no physician of the day that can cure this problem, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one other man that I can turn to who has the answer to this dilemma. The governor of the state of Texas doesn't have the solution to the problem of sin. The Supreme Courts of the United States do not have the solution to the problem of sin. The President of the United States does not have the solution to the problem of sin. None of them do. And no amount of money can cure this problem. Just as this woman had spent all of her living, Luke says, trying to find a cure. We could go to the ends of the earth and spend money all day long. We could fill our coffers up and go take all of that money and give it to all the poor in the world and hand it out and build hospitals and do all kinds of things with it. But in all of our doing, none of that would solve the problem of sin. Many believe that they just throw money at the problem, that that'll fix it. It won't. Have we not read Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26? What would happen if we had the whole world? We could still lose our soul. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 49 and verses 6 and 7, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." You see, even if you had all the wealth in the world, you couldn't buy back your soul from the problem of sin. Yet, for all that we try to do to deal with this problem, we just get deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And the more we sin, the more it becomes a problem. Remember what James said in James chapter 1 in verses 17 and following. He said, Don't say that God tempts me with evil. God doesn't tempt any man with evil, because sin comes from each one of us. It arises out of our own lusts, out of our own temptations. It comes from within. When the sin is full grown, or when the temptation is full grown, it brings forth sin. And then ultimately, the sin brings forth death. Sin just keeps getting worse and worse and worse if we try to solve that problem ourselves. But when we look to Mark chapter 5 and we look at what this woman did in regard to her condition, she certainly found a cure. She said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be cured." Mark says that she heard the reports of Jesus, that she heard about him, that she knew that he could do something. The reports of Jesus were amazing. If you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verses 23 through 25, there we find some really interesting things said about Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 23 through 25. "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And so Jesus' fame had spread far and wide, and many people knew about him, and they heard about him, and they came to him, and he healed them. And so this woman had heard about Jesus, and we know that she believed that he could help her. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she heard about Jesus, and then she believed in him enough that she sought him. She looked for him. Based upon what she heard, she believed. You see, her faith was not by sight. Her faith was trust in Jesus, even though she hadn't seen him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. She told herself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And so she took action. She acted upon her belief. The text says, she came in the crowd behind him and she touched his garment. And her faith wasn't a dead faith, but it was a living and active faith. And by works was her faith made perfect. James chapter 2 and verse 22. And this reminds us of God's plan for man's salvation. Because in essence, what she did was follow that same plan. She heard, she believed, and then she acted upon her faith. That's what God tells us in His Word to do, to deal with our sin problem. We must hear His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. We must believe in God's Word, that God is, and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We must then act upon that faith by repenting of our sins. The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 13. We must confess that Jesus is the Christ. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins. That's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. And we receive the cleansing power of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's Jesus who saves. It's putting our faith in Him whereby we can be saved. Just as this woman recognized that nothing that man could do could help her, and she certainly couldn't help herself, so she went to Jesus. So she put her faith in Him and put her trust in Him that very hour. All along, as we do these things, as we hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized, and then as we live our faithful Christian life to Him, we are putting our faith and trust in Jesus each and every day. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's something that perpetually goes on throughout our life. Every day, I put my faith and trust in Him to save me, because I know I don't have it within myself to save myself, just as this woman didn't have it within herself to save herself. And as a result of putting her faith and trust in Jesus, she received closure. She received something she was looking for that she hadn't experienced for a very long time. Mark says that two things happened as a result of her putting her faith and trust in Jesus. For she said, verse 28, if I only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Two things happened, Mark says. First of all, the flow of her blood dried up. She stopped having that issue of blood that had been such a problem for so long a time. And she felt in her body that her disease had been cured. Now, I don't know exactly what it was that was causing her affliction. It could have been any number of things, but she could feel it, whatever it was. And that was then gone. Now, think about the consequences that this has within her life. That she had been an outcast for 12 years, and now she would no longer be an outcast. She had had an unclean house for 12 years, and now her house could be clean again. She could have company over. She could have visitors come in, and they would be able to stay with her and sit on her chairs and sit on her couches without having to worry about becoming unclean. She could now go to the temple of God and worship Him along with all the others who could enter in there to worship. You see, great blessing comes from putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And that's what this is teaching us. And that's what we need to learn from this. Jesus looked at her and He questioned her. Notice verse 30, immediately, knowing in Himself that the power had gone out of Him, He turned around and He said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Who touched me? What a crazy question to ask when all these people are surrounding Jesus. They're all thronging Him. They're shoulder to shoulder with Him. They're constantly around Him because they want to be with Him. They want to see Him. And He says, "Who touched me?" See, Jesus knows. And Jesus cares. That's what this means. When Jesus says, "Who touched me?" He knew who touched Him. Someone special had touched Him. Someone in need had touched Him. He was aware of her. He knew her condition. He knew her faith. And He knew that she had reached out for Him because He was reaching out for her, whether she knew that He was or not, He was. And Jesus is reaching out for us today as well. She came before Him in fear and trembling, just afraid of what might happen. You see, if this had been any other rabbi walking by the street and this unclean woman had touched His clothes, why, this would have created all kinds of problems for Him. He would have had to go on and take off His clothes and then wash them ceremonially and then ceremonially bathe Himself. Oh, how angry He probably would have been with her for having done this act and making Him unclean as He was perpetually trying to be clean, you see. But not Jesus. No, not Jesus. Because Jesus loved her. He cared for her. He wanted her to be well. He wanted her to be whole. He cleansed her. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." How many of us think, "Oh, how can God forgive me? I've got so much sin in my life. I've got so many problems. How can I be forgiven? God must hate me. God must not want to have anything to do with me." But how wrong we are. You see, He's reaching out for us. And if we would only reach up to Him in faith, He would help us. We have complete assurance that what Jesus says will happen. "All authority has been given unto me," Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and following. There is no one who's going to interfere with His healing power. There is no one who's going to stop His forgiving hand. If we will reach up to Him, He is reaching down for us and He is ready to take hold of us and to bring us up if we would but put our faith and trust in Him. When we turn to Jesus in loving, obedient faith, He will give the blessings of salvation. And when we follow His plan, we will know that it is Jesus who saves and nothing else. And He will say to us, "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You see, Jesus gives true closure to the problem of sin. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The Son. See, the Son was the one who inherited all things. He was the next master of the house. He had authority over the house. And if He freed one of the slaves, one of the servants, then that servant was free. Absolutely. No strings attached. That's the authority that Jesus Christ has. If He forgives of sins, you're forgiven. It's done. There's no need to fret over it. There's no need to wring your hands about it. There's no need to say, "Oh, I can't help myself." No, no, no. See, Jesus does it. He forgives. And we can have that blessing in Him, this wonderful closure on a life of sin that has plagued us for so long, that has caused so many problems, that has separated us from friends and family, that brings us into broken relationships. He fixes all that for us. But we must believe. We must believe in Him. And so what will you do this morning? Will you put your faith and trust in Him this very hour? Will you allow Him to work His healing power on your life? You can do that. And He will say to you, thy faith hath made thee whole. Come to Jesus now while we stand and sing the song of invitation.